In the first part of our show, we began an adventure on the island of Hawaii along Volcanoes National Park's Crater Rim Drive. We started in a massive cave. The solid rock floor slowly became uneven, and we discovered beautiful shapes and colors embedded in the walls. The deeper we ventured, the darker it became, and we had to decide to either turn around or keep going. The shiny twinkles we saw embedded in the walls were mineral deposits that formed into crusts or small crystals. And the light at the end of the tunnel, a beautiful tropical rainforest. For those of you who have trekked Nahuku, also known as the Thurston Lava Tube, you're one of the fortunate ones to see firsthand the lava tube discovered in 1913 by local newspaper publisher Lauren Thurston. As of last Friday, according to the National Park Service website, the electrical system is being worked on, so interior lighting in the lava tube is off, and temporary battery-operated lights are being used. Flashlights and our headlamps are required to enter. Please check at the Kilauea Visitor Center information desk for the most up-to-date information.
And we were asking the question a little earlier in the show about where exactly we were, and as you've just heard Chris tell you that, Bernice Akamine knew that too, called us from Volcano, and is today's winner. Thanks so much for playing the Backyard Quiz with us. If you have a question for us, you can always send it in to talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org, and we just might use it for a future show.
Support for the Backyard Quiz comes from Achieve 3000, welcoming students, parents, teachers, and administrators back to school. Learn more about new product and training updates for Hawaii schools at Achieve3000.com/Hawaii.
A 150 years ago, when Hawaii was a sovereign kingdom, Queen Emma founded a school, St. Andrew's Priory, to give girls an equal chance at a high-quality education. It's a mission that continues to this day, and its new head of school works to balance tradition with a contemporary educational focus. She's Dr. Ruth Fletcher, and she's with us in our studio. Thanks for coming in.
Aloha, Chris. Thanks for having me.
What are the arguments in favor of girls-only education? In fact, let me start by saying, what were the arguments in favor of it 150 years ago?
150 years ago, it was really important to have a Queen Emma as our founder.
Yeah.
Because most of the young women that were living in Hawaii at that time were educated by either the Ali'i school or the missionaries' children by the mission schools. Mm-hmm. And the average everyday young girl was not educated and did not have an opportunity to be educated. So Queen Emma saw that as a need and then opened the doors of St. Andrew's Priory and gave girls an education that they deserved.
Well, you know, sadly, 150 years ago, most people felt that women didn't really need that much of an education, you know, teach them how to read and function somewhat, but not, you know, certainly not getting into the advanced sciences or anything like that.
Yes, surprisingly, that was so. And I thank Queen Emma for her foresight. She understood that young women and young men both could contribute to society and also had a lot to offer. And when she did open the girls' school, it was really to make sure that they could have a life that they could then fulfill their own dreams and also contribute back to society as a whole. She was a very forward-thinking, progressive thinker, and she helped found not only our school but Queen's Hospital, and she brought St. Andrew's Cathedral here to the islands.
Yeah.
So she was really kind of the Renaissance queen, the people's queen, a lot of care that she brought to our state, and mm-hmm. Our children that graduate from St. Andrew's Priory are her living legacy.
Well, it'd be nice to say that 150 years along that we had achieved complete gender equity in jobs and salaries and things like that. We're not quite there, are we?
No, we're not. And I wish we were.
What do the girls at Priory today think about that?
They probably don't like it. They are very much interested in equality for men and women. What I noticed is that when you have a single gender education, what the girls do with each other is they have limitless opportunities because they have to take all of the roles that exist in the school. So they become leaders, sometimes followers, sometimes. However, they explore their interests and their passions, and then they know who they are so that they can be strong. And I think that when a girl graduates from St. Andrew's Priory, there is some piece of her that knows perseverance and dedication will be necessary because sometimes the world won't see them for their capacities, for what they can actually do. However, if they are good enough and they are strong enough, they will succeed.
You certainly, in the biographies of various role models that young women might look to, they would find stories of a great many stories of women who had encountered obstacles based solely on their gender, wouldn't they?
Yes. I think we do need to have role models that are female, and I think Queen Emma is one of the models that we use so that our young girls can look to a female queen that was so amazingly great for the state and for the children of Hawaii and the people of Hawaii, that they know that we, if we want to carry that legacy forward, then we need to fulfill our own greatest capacities so that we are using everything that we have in our minds, our hearts, and our souls so that we better the world.
I seem to remember, and this is not a particularly accurate memory, but I seem to remember studies of co-education that determined that in a co-ed environment that maybe boys would be more likely to be called on. Is there some truth to that?
Yes, there's some research that does show that oftentimes in a co-ed classroom, boys are called on more frequently than girls. We also know that girls and boys develop differently, and so the curriculum should be suited more towards who's in the classroom. So in the early years, K to 5 and the K-1-2 grades, girls are actually more mature than boys and can sit longer and be more focused in a longer way, whereas boys really do, in general, need to be up and about and moving. And so if you ask them to do the same things, it's actually not appropriate. So we try to make sure that we educate girls and boys in a way that they can best learn. And so we have a single gender boys school, K to 5, and then our K to 12 girls school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a product of a co-ed education myself. However, what I have always played in sports, which are single gender girls sports. And what I noticed is that you do have to play a leader role, a leadership role, and you have to also collaborate and cooperate with each other and deeply respect other people's strengths and talents. And what I love about St. Andrew's and our female all-single gender education program is that the girls strive to the highest is our motto. So they strive to the highest themselves, but they also recognize that another person is also striving to their highest. And so there's a deep respect for human beings, and that you can be great and I can be great too.
Do you think girls have a different attitude toward competition than boys at the approximate same age?
That's a good question. I am from a family of six, and I have three brothers and two sisters, and some of the girls were more competitive and some of the boys were less competitive. So I think the competitive drive, it depends on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you want to be the best at something and you really love it, you're going to be competitive.
is it appropriate to approach education with that same sort of competitive spirit that you might bring to sports?
I think it depends. I think there's some times for competition and some times for collaboration. In our world today, I think collaboration has a high value because we have more and more people in the world. And it's really important that we understand what other people are thinking and then work together to accomplish something. And it's not as much about the individual as how it is about the collective. So competition is good, but working in a team is as good.
Do you think the drive to collaborate is perhaps stronger in young women than young men?
I think that the way a woman's mind works is often more networked and more interweaving and not as linear sometimes in general. This is a gross generalization.
Well, sure, yeah.
But oftentimes getting from point A to point B in a straight line is done more easily by a male than it is by a female. A female might see all possibilities and meander a little.
So a lot of powerful arguments in favor of, single gender education,
I would think. I think the biggest argument for single gender education is that you understand who you are and how you fit into society in a way that gives you strength. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a single all-girl classroom, you look around and all your models are women and they're all taking on all of the options. They're doing all the technology, they're doing the science experiment, they're leading speech and debate, and mm-hmm. all the models that you see are women. So you see yourself as being capable and strong. And I think that's very important for any person.
Thanks very much for talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Dr. Ruth Fletcher is in her first year as head of St. Andrew's Schools, which today encompasses three schools, the Priory, Queen Emma Preschool, and the Prep. Now I want to talk about you.